The message you're about to hear was recorded live at Grace Life Family Church, Abuja, where God is raising a new generation of believers. We are confident that His word will bless you and open your eyes to who you are in Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Become somebody who walks into places and things start to change, because not only are you impacted, you also carry the power in you to impact others. If you think it's me, if you think it's my hand, if you think it's because I said it, then your faith will be based on me. But I'm not always going to be around. I'm not always going to be there when you mostly need a miracle. I'm not always going to be there when you need to lay your own hands on somebody else. I'm not going to always be there when there's a storm. You have the faith to rise up and say, "Peace, be still." This is what the church of Christ is. You remember? Look at what Jesus did. Jesus took himself and he multiplied into his disciples. And he ends up saying, "Greater works shall you do." And so what I'm telling you this morning is this. Whatever thing that you're looking for, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what the challenge is. It doesn't matter what you want. Whatever thing you're looking for, the answer is in the spoken word of God. Please say amen. Oh, let me know you say a lot of amen. Your answer is in the written word of God, in the spoken word of God. And I began to pray when we started this church. And I was telling God, I said, what I want is that as the word is going on, anybody who needs a healing will get their healing. As the word of God is going on, something will start to rearrange inside your body. Somebody say amen. And the word of God is going on, suddenly you walk into church with some feeling of pain or anguish or hopelessness. But as the word is going on, something starts to rise on the inside. And you know what? You can take that. You can make it yours. Don't get me wrong. I pray for people once in a while. And I made it a point of this. You know, when people see pastor, the first thing in Nigeria, when you see a pastor, I don't know, when they hear that you're a pastor, the first thing they say would ask you, "So, pastor, can you pray for me? Pastor, can you pray for me?" You know why they do that? They don't believe that God will hear them. They think that God will hear somebody else better than them. That's why. So they're looking for somebody who has a special number to God. This person has a special way he connects with God that is different from yours. So let me carry my own problem, go and meet him. Since God cannot hear me, God will hear him on my behalf. How many of you know that God is your father? If he's your father, then he wants to hear from you. Somebody say amen. He wants to hear from you. The church is afraid that if we teach people like this, we will no longer be relevant. And so everybody wants you to come to them. Come, it's my anointing. Come, it's my calling. Come. How many of you know that every of you are God in Christ? And there is nothing I do that you cannot do more than me. There's nothing God does in me. God has no favorite children. You know, for many years, we used to think that God, you know, God has some special kind of love for some people. The way they spoke about God. Like, you know, God is their own. Then all of you, you belong on the outside. So me and God have a special line to God. And that is why Christianity, rather than you becoming a life that breathes life, those who are supposed to be light themselves are walking in darkness, looking for who will deliver them. The man who ought to be a deliverer himself is a captive. The man who ought to be light himself. Because, sir, how many places can I be at one time? But you know, God multiplies himself in you. As I'm going home this side, laying my hands on the sick, you are going to this side. There is God everywhere. It is not a God that will say, "Let us go to the mountain, he's there." No, he's in you. Somebody say amen. Listen. I am only laying a foundation to what I'm about to say. When we began this year, we are asking God. In fact, it was last year. I began asking God. Because, listen, there's something about just opening up the Bible and preaching a word. But I have been informed and I know that the word that God gives us in this church is also our direction. So when the word of God comes, it's supposed to move us from where we are to where we must be. Somebody say amen. So it's like a light to our path. And that's why I keep telling people, key in, take this word. Take it. Everything I'm doing and whatever thing is coming up in my life is because of the word, friends. It's because of the word of God. It's because of the word of God. And you must be open. You must be teachable. You must allow the word to come. The Bible talks about that, how God makes us into new people by changing the way we think. The word of God comes in. And until you start to see yourself the way God sees you, friend, it doesn't matter how religious you are still going to be struggling. But the moment suddenly your eyes of understanding opens, suddenly you realize who you are. Before you say a word, some of the things that is troubling you now will run away by themselves. The fears, the worries of life. The thing that makes a Christian, instead of him to be light, he's even wondering where he stands. And then suddenly your eyes of understanding, boom, opens. And then you will be the one to stand. Like I tell people, look, I don't have to instruct you in what to do. When the light breaks forth, you will know what to do. You will know what to do. When the light breaks forth, boom, suddenly your eyes opens. You start to see what it means that you are born again. Friend, let me announce something to you this morning. There is nothing else in heaven on earth. There is nothing else that has come, that will come, that is greater than you being born again. To be born again is the reason the heavens and the earth was created. To be born again is the reason the heavens and the earth was created. And God began to take me line by line as we go. I told you here, it's a journey. Because there are things that we have believed for so long. Not because we had a revelation, but because somebody else told us. Church told us. Religion told us. And we believed it. Now God is opening our eyes of understanding. Light upon light. Revelation upon revelation. That, let me tell you this. The day you realize, you reckon, you understand what it means that you are born again. That day you will see that, you know, we've made the thing look like it's nothing. We've made the thing look like it's nothing. Oga, photographer, give me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's start somewhere. I'm going to be starting some new teachings based on the revelation that God has trusted in our small hands. And I can tell you now, if you key in, you will never remain to be the same. Somebody say amen. No, this one is not. This one is no motivation. This one is not make I get the maiden shout. No. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. We started from a precept, but it's taking us. I knew we were going somewhere. And so I'm only going to start to lay the foundations. If you want to see the reality of this Christianity, then you're not going to miss any of this. In fact, I'm writing a book on this already. I'm writing a book on this already. And so, this is where we should key in. This is where it began. Praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Somebody say blessed. Blessed, is it present or past tense? Is it present or past tense? And so he has blessed for somebody say blessed. No, if you feel blessed, let me hear you say amen. He has blessed us in the past tense. I am not a man who is trying to be blessed. And this is what religion has done to us. Even though we are completely blessed in Christ, religion suspends the blessing and put it in forward. Say, unless if you do this, he will not bless you. So the man who is blessed is thinking that he's cursed. And so he's struggling to come out of curse. The man who is blessed has no idea that he's blessed. His eyes are closed and he's walking around blindly. But allow me to show you what the scripture says. It says, all praise be to God. Number one, watch this. This blessing is not the blessing of God to everyone. No, this blessing comes from God as our Father. From a father to his children. This blessing is exclusive to you, the believer. That's why he says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in this place, God is blessing us as Father to his children. And he said, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies because of what? We are united with Christ. Somebody say united with Christ. Let me hear you say, I am united with Christ. Oh, that your eyes will open, that you know what it means, that you are united with Christ. The day you realize this, you begin to write your own story. It is no longer the story of you that other people are telling. The day you realize what it means that you are united with God in Christ. And that is what this series is going to be, because we are going to be talking about what actually does it mean. Because suddenly I realize that we have not really known what it means that we're saved. Let me tell you this before I continue. The power of the devil is in his ability to mask the truth, to cover the truth. That's where the power of the devil lies. To take truth and make it. He cannot make it, make a lie out of it. So what he will do is that he will confuse the truth a little bit. Because he knows that the day you know the truth shall be what? Set you free. And so he begins to mask the truth. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He comes. No wonder Jesus says, when he comes, he will teach you all things. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms? In the original translation, there's no realms. Because, Ben, do you have the New American Standard, NASB? Check if you have that. Check if you have that. This is okay. But if you have it, put that up. Let me show you something. So because we are united with Christ. Next line. Give me next line while you're looking for that. Now, this is what began this journey. I told you this last Sunday. I told you this the other Sunday ago. I was teaching on the book of Ephesians, bringing out the truth of the gospel. Let me just warn you before I continue. You know, because somebody saying Jesus, Jesus, doesn't mean that that person is teaching Jesus. You know that, right? Okay, so because how many of us know that there are all kinds of Jesuses? Okay, so for the fact that somebody is saying Jesus, Jesus, doesn't necessarily mean that this man is teaching you Christ. For the man to be teaching you Christ, it must be in the content of what he's saying. Paul says, if any man shall come and preach to you another Christ, the one that we have not preached to you. He says, if another man shall come and preach to you another gospel. And so, when we say we are preaching Christ, there must be a specific message, something that is specific that we're saying. Watch this. He says, even before he made the world. So, as I was studying the book of Ephesians, and you realize that I have read this book, only God knows how many times I've read the book of Ephesians. But when I got here, I got stuck. He said, even before he made the world, even before he made the world. So whatever blessing that we are talking about here is what God had positioned even before he made the world. Let me ask you a question, church. Why did God create heaven and earth? Or somebody tell me. Why did God, you have been reading Genesis. Why did God create heaven and earth? Somebody tell me. Why? Bible teachers, tell me, why did God create the heavens and earth? Have you asked that before? Or you went with what they told you in Christian religious knowledge? Why did God create heaven and earth? You don't know? And you'll be coming, yes, my dear. Yeah, you can talk. Tell me, why did God create heaven and earth? Praise God. Let's put our hands together for her. Amen. Make on a clap now. Waiting. I say, okay, make on a clap now. Hallelujah. Yes, tell me something. Why did God create the heavens and earth? To reveal his person. Amen. Let's put our hands together for our brother. Hallelujah. To reveal his person. But how does he do that? Listen, if we don't understand the purpose of a thing, then abuse is imminent. We don't understand why something was done. And the more I study this, look, even before he made the world. Now, I'm going to answer these questions. So, listen, when I ask you questions, I'm not asking you questions to say, shame, you don't know it. No, I'm asking you questions to bring up what you are thinking already. Just we might be able to change it where necessary. That's why I ask questions. Watch this carefully. So, this is what we are told from the beginning. We are told that God was in heaven. Right? Follow me. And then he wanted a colony which he will rule through us. Have you heard that before? Did you believe that? Yes, that's what we are told. That's where the foundation of the gospel began. Okay, so God now came, created Adam, and Adam lost dominion. Just follow me. If this is different from what you've had before, tell me. So God was in heaven, then he created the earth, and he gave Adam dominion. Adam lost the dominion because of sin, and then he sent forth Christ to redeem us from sin. What I just said now has been the doctrine of the church. But let me tell you this. You know the problem with this? It makes Christ look like an afterthought. It makes Jesus look like an emergency arrangement. So, in other words, what you are saying is that if Adam did not sin, there will be no need for Christ. Please follow me carefully. If the reason God created the world was just so that he would have a colony to rule through us, and then man lost, when man lost, and then Jesus had to come to redeem man because he lost. That means Jesus was never the original plan. Are you here? Listen to me carefully, and I need you to pay close attention. If that is the case, then Jesus was not the plan. Jesus was an emergency arrangement that God put together because Adam sinned. So, if Adam did not sin, then there would have been no need for Christ. If we go with that idea. Now, as I'm reading the Bible says, but even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us where? Chose us where? Chose us where? Even before he made the world, in other words, the purpose of God has always been to choose us in Christ. So Christ couldn't have been an alternative. He is the main reason. Somebody say amen. Jesus has always been the plan of God. And for you and I to be united with God in Christ is, listen to me carefully, is the reason the heavens and the earth was created. This might be too difficult for some people, because it's a little bit, look, it's now that the scripture, when you understand these things, the entire scripture itself starts to come together. Because you cannot tell me that the reason Christ came was just because Adam sinned. No, something happened somewhere. Because the Bible is telling us here that even before God made the world, he loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. Where? In his eyes. Please, before I come back to this, skip to verse 9 and 10. I'm only laying foundation, so you got to have to be around as much as possible in the home churches, Sundays, as we unpack this, because we're going somewhere. God has now revealed to us, listen to this, God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding who? Christ. It is in the gospel now that we can understand the book of Genesis. And I'll quickly go to the Genesis, but just follow me. He said, it is now that God has revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. Next line, 10. And he said, and this is the plan. The other translation said, this is the will of God. You know, we always talk about the will of God. The Bible says here, and this is that plan that at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of who? Christ. Are you with me so far? That he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Please, everybody, help me read the last line. One, two, go. Everything where? Everything in heaven and earth. So the plan of God from the beginning, before he created the world, has always been to unite everything together under Christ. So Christ could not be an afterthought. Christ could not be an emergency arrangement. Christ could never be something that God came up with in order to save man. No, the plan of God from the very beginning, before he created the world, was to unite everything in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now, why am I going around? Listen, when you understand what I'm saying now, then you will know who you are. Because who you are now is what God has already ordained before time began. You start to realize, friends, that being born again is the greatest thing that can happen to a new human being. The reason we are not seeing the manifestations as we should is because the church has not told us who we are. They preach to us like we are dead men. They preach to us like we are sinners. They preach to us like you are powerless. They preach to us like we have no love. We're trying to love. No. When you realize what it means. Listen, let me tell you. What God had always wanted to do is to bring divinity and humanity and combine them together. Create what I call now the man that look like God. Give me Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 1:26. Let's go to the beginning. Genesis. If I want to go to the beginning in Igbo, I will say Genesis. Genesis. So that's Genesis, right? Let's go to the beginning. And please walk with me here. Let's clear some of the confusion. Then God said, let us make human beings. Give me another translation. Any other one? King James or something. But that's the one people are used to. And that's why we read all the errors into. Give me one of the older ones. King James or New King James? New King James preferably. This is where some of the errors began. You know why I'm saying this, friends? Listen to me carefully. Until a man knows who he is in Christ, his religious activities means nothing. The fullness of the light cannot be expressed until a man knows who he is. Until you realize what it means that you are born again. You know, today when you say born again, especially in this country, I sit down with some people and I listen to them talk and I hear them say things like, Kai, if you want to do business, somebody says he's born again. Don't even allow them at all. Somebody says he's born again, but he's like a dead man. Why is that? So because of it, you know, we start to look at the born again thing as like, you know, that thing, yeah, I just give my life to Christ. Okay, what next? Let me move on. No, that thing is the main thing and it is the only thing. Because that has always been the plan of God, why he created the heavens and the earth. Some of the things I'm saying is strong, but we have to take time to expand. I'm only laying some pillars here and there. And by the grace of God, as we go Sunday from Sunday, we'll start to tie all this up together. So let's look at this. The Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our own image. Somebody say, our own image. So he says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, this man here, church, I ask you now, this man here, is it a single man or plural? Look up and tell me. It's plural. Why do you know it's plural? How do you know it's plural? Huh? Let them have dominion. Praise God. Let's put our hands together for our brother. Amen. Listen, I ask you questions so we can flow along. Yes. So when God says, let us make man, he's not talking about any particular man. Because how do you know? The next line tells you, say, let them, so that's plural. So man here is used to represent humankind, human beings or mankind. That's why the other translation that Ben has says, let us make human beings in our image. Now, the mistake we'll be making is because we assumed that when God said, let us make man, that the man he made, Adam, was this man. So all along, we've been saying that Adam had the image and the likeness of God. Because we assume that this man here was Adam. And this is important to understand. Because I myself, I have also been saying from the beginning, because I have, that Adam was exactly like God. But as you're going to find out now, that's not the case. Think about it. If Adam was exactly like God, how did you think he would have handled Satan's temptations? How do you think if Adam was exactly like God, how did you think he would have handled Satan's temptations? A little differently. If Adam was exactly like God, that means Satan was tempting God. That's what we're trying to say, right? Now, listen, don't be slow. We keep going one after the other. Because what I'm about to say, this whole thing brings us back to the reason why you and I are here. Because when you understand it, everything around you starts to change. The way you see life, the way you see society, the way you see you and you see people, you start to see things the way God sees them. Someone say amen. Oh, let me hear you say a louder amen. Watch this. So, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So, let's go to verse 27. Let's go to 27. So, this man, God said, let us make human beings or let us make mankind. Ben, before you go there, please go back to 26 and give me the New Living Translation. Just let's establish that fact. So, when God said, he said two things. Let us make man in our image. Image is something that looks like me, but not me. You can make an image of me, right? It looks like me, but it's not me. You can take a photographic image of me. You look at my picture, it's me, but it's not me. It's just an image. But God added something else. He says, let that they will be like us. So this is what he says. Let us make human beings in our image. To be like ourselves. That is our likeness. An image becomes like me when he has my characters. So if you mold something like me, it doesn't talk like me, it doesn't think like me, it doesn't act like me, it's not me. So that's why God says here, let us make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. So you see the two things, let us make human beings that have our image, but they are going to be like us. So this is what happened. Let me bring down some of the questions that's already rising in your mind. And so this is what happened. Adam was supposed to make a choice. And it was that choice that should have made him to become like God. The man that God created was created to make a choice. And it was in making that choice that he would have become exactly like God. Please follow me. Why did God create the Garden of Eden? Shebi, we have been reading that God created the Garden of Eden. Huh? Abi? So why did God create it? Bros, why are you scratching your head? Why did God create? Did you think it was a fantasy? Why did God create the Garden of Eden? Think, friends. Why did God create the Garden of Eden? With trees. And the Bible says he took the man he created and he put him inside there. Why did God create the Garden of Eden? Bible teachers, tell me now. Anybody who answers this correctly, I'll give you 50,000 naira. Money, Kai. Money. You said what, sir? Once the man hear money, now the answer start to come. Who is going to tell me that? Why did God haven't you? Friends, think. Our problem is that we have followed what we are told. We never ask questions. Why did God create the Garden of Eden? Yes. Are you answering because you want to answer because of the money? Okay. To test their love. Okay. That does not qualify for 50,000, but let's put a hand together for him. Amen. Why did God create the Garden of Eden? We got to think, friends. The reason we're not thinking is because we simply took what we were told. Whether it aligned with the scripture or not, we simply accepted it. Listen, you can take 4-10 years to be reading only from Genesis chapter 1 to 2, but you can't understand it until you understand what happened at the revelation of Christ. Now you can look back, like Paul says, oh my goodness, so that thing that he wanted to do has now been revealed to us. No man can understand the Old Testament until you have a revelation of Christ. Otherwise, what you're going to do is to take things from there and be telling people what you think. God created the Garden of Eden for one specific purpose. It was a place for the man he created to make a choice. That's why Eden was created. The Bible said that God took the man and he put him inside the place, inside the Eden. Why was that? That man was created to make a choice. You know why? Because until he makes a choice, he doesn't have free will. If Adam did not make a choice, then he's not part of the creation. He becomes like angels that God created. They don't have a will. What makes a man is that man has the ability to choose. You can choose God or you can refuse him. The entirety of the Garden of Eden, all the story you read, it was a place of choice. Somebody say place of choice. Come on, let me hear you say place of choice. You got to understand this because, listen, at the end of it all, what was at the beginning is still present today. It has not changed. Eden was the place. The specific reason God created the Garden of Eden, it was a place for the man he created to make a choice. And that choice was what was going to make him to become like God or not like God. And so in a sense, Adam was like God in his image. God, the Bible says in his image he created the male and female. But there was something else he was supposed to do. Once he does that, then creation itself will be completed. Did you think that the world that evil grew out of, people killing each other, you think that that's what God wanted? No. Something happened along the line. And that's what we're about to trace here, that when God says, this is what I was talking about, let us make human beings in our image so that they will be like us. Can I show you something more? All right, so give me, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tonight. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. I'm not preaching to you today, I'm teaching. So you better bring out your notes. And this is going to be a long teaching. I don't know how long this is going to take us. I'm only laying the foundations. So don't get confused. If you have questions, write them down. So when we finish, you can ask. Don't get confused. Okay. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostril. And the man became a living person. The man became a living person. Okay? I want you to pay attention that the man became a living being or a living person. Next line. Then the Lord God planted a garden in the Eden in the east, and then there he placed the man that he made. So he created the man, he breathed unto him, he became a being, he took him, he planted a garden, he took him, he put him in the garden. Alright, continue. Then the Lord made all sorts of trees. Quickly, almost immediately, you start to see the Bible talk about trees and eating of a tree. Almost immediately, you start to see the Bible start talking about trees. Almost immediately. Because this tree plays a very important role. When God created man, the first instruction he had was about eating trees. Eating the fruit of the trees. That's the first thing he had. He says that we are beautiful and that produce delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life. Somebody say tree of life. Oh, let me hear you say tree of life. Shout it like you mean tree of life. And also he placed another one called what? The tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. Somebody say choice. Let me hear you say choice. We are getting to the choice now. We are getting to the choice. I used to ask myself, okay, why God can't carry this tree? Go put it inside their first place. If this tree was going to cause this problem, why did God put it there? No. Until a man makes a choice. God created the man and put him in that garden to make this choice between choose the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I wanted to pay attention to the last one. He says there's good in it as well as evil. He says it's not only evil. Listen, what would have completed creation is when this man made this choice. Because if he makes this choice, he becomes exactly like God. Should I show you that? Okay, let's go to Genesis 3. I'm going to teach on this over and over, so just relax. Let's go to Genesis. Okay, first, 15, Genesis 2, 15 to 17. Let's look at that first. Okay, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. Next line. But the Lord God warned him. Somebody say warned him. He said, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree. Let me hear you say every tree. So, in other words, man had the liberty and the choice to eat from every tree that was in the garden. This is where the choice comes in. Next line. Except. You can eat of every tree except this one. That means man had the right to eat, included the tree of life. True or false? Right? Because that's included in every other tree. The only one that was separated out of the trees is this one. That God said, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. What is the name of the other tree? Tree of what? life. The result of this one is it is what? Death. Remember God saying to the Jews, I keep before you life and death. You choose life that you may live. I want to bring this down to let you know that this choice is still the choice before man today. This choice right here. This choice right here. Whether you will eat of the tree of life or whether you will choose the knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. Or let me hear you say knowledge. It's not apple that Adam ate. Oh, that one came from children's illustration books. It's not apple. Now, whether this was physical or a metaphor, we know what the result was going to be. If you eat of this one, you are cool. If you eat of this one, the Hebrew translation is, in dying you shall die. In dying you shall die. That's why this one says you shall surely die. It didn't mean drop dead and die. No. What it means that spiritually you will die, then eventually physically you will die. Follow me, please. There was something else I wanted to point out here. There's a place where the Bible says, and they were naked and were unaware. They were unashamed. The man that God created, he was naked before God, but he was unashamed. He didn't know. He was unashamed. This unashamed brings us back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians, please. Well, I'd rather. I can stop somewhere and then we'll continue next Sunday, so that's guaranteed. So let's go back to Ephesians quickly. Ephesians chapter 1, same place, verse 4. Now, we're going to start making some sense. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, this is what happened when Adam and Eve were naked, but they were unashamed. Why? Because they didn't have a knowledge of it, so they were unashamed. Did you notice that children, if you allow these children who run around, yeah, if you allow them, they will come in here and remove their clothes. You know that, right? Right in front of us. Is that true? Those children, they will come here now. If you allow them, they will remove their clothes and start running around. We don't feel anything. It is when we start giving them the knowledge, shame you. Suddenly, they realize there's something wrong. Knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. Suddenly, they know. I grew up. I was born in the village. And it was normal thing for us to come back from school, remove all our clothes, and be running around naked. We were unashamed. Running around naked. One day, I saw one girl, one big woman. I don't know. You know, children, if a child hears something, they want to say the same thing. They want to repeat the same thing. I think that's when I started getting awareness of what a wife and a husband was. And so this lady was walking. I was following her. I was naked, following her, singing, my wife, my wife, my wife, following her. And you know, kids, I think the thing troubled her because I kept following her long place. I would be saying the same thing. She would stop, I would run. She will continue. I will come again. I'll be going, my wife. And she turns around suddenly and looks at me. And she said, you want to build my husband? See, with this your nakedness. Once she said that, I did not run from the road. I ran straight inside the bush. And from the bush, I went home. Sir, that was the last day I came out naked. Never again. The other kids will come out naked. I come wearing my pants. Look at me. What's wrong with you? Now everyone says, no, that was the last day. Why was that? Because somebody told me that I was naked. Somebody said knowledge. Until I had that knowledge, I had no problem being myself. I could be looking for a woman to marry with my nakedness. With my nakedness. I didn't feel anything until somebody told me. The choice between you and I today, oh, thank God for Jesus, is the same thing. It's a choice for man. Whether you are going to choose from that tree that produces life, or you want to choose by the one that gives you independence. Listen to me what will happen. I will find out now. When once they partook of that tree, I'm jumping myself, but let me put this here. Once they partook of that tree, what did it result to them? They started looking for how to take care of themselves. Suddenly, they started looking for clothes. Suddenly, they started looking for a place to hide. Just like when that lady told me that, and bam, I took off. And I went to look for pants. I can't remember. I came home looking for pants like a madman. Why? They're ashamed. Because somebody told me. Choose to be holy and without fault in his eyes. He did not say that they don't have fault, but in his eyes we have no fault. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, give me the next, sorry, up a little bit. There's something I'm looking for. Go up to verse 3 first, because all praise be to God who has blessed us with every, because we are united with Christ. Next line, I'm looking for something specific. Because here now, the phrase I'm looking for here now tells us that the blessing we have in Christ is according to the blessing that God had before or for us before he created the world. The blessing that we have in Christ now is according to the original blessing and intention of God for our lives. Let me leave that there. Let's go to the church. God? Okay. Don't worry. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. All right? Okay. Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at the saga and we run off here today. Next Sunday we'll continue. Are you being blessed today? Are you sure you are being blessed? I want to tell you today that the man you are now in Christ has always been the plan and purpose of God for which he created the heavens and the earth. When that settles in your life, when that lights up, you understand that who you are in Christ now is what God always wanted. It's the reason he created the heavens and the earth. Then you know how big it is, you and Christ. You start to go home and start to search your Bible. You want to know why this is. Because, friends, there's nothing else greater than that. That a man is in Christ. So here the devil comes again. Go to verse 1. The devil comes as usual. You have to understand, the church is looking for devil to bind. They are looking for devil to cast. They are looking for devil to roast. They are looking for devil to pour hot oil. If all those things, the key devil, if I don't die before now, you have to understand that the power of the devil is in his ability to misrepresent the truth. Here you go. He said the serpent was more shrewd than all wild animals that the Lord God had. One day he asked the woman, God really say, have you watched that? Did God really say? He didn't throw the word away. He took the word. I said, but did God really say? Can't you think about it? Can't you think about it, friends? Why was this so significant? Why did the eating of this fruit change everything in humanity? Think, why did the eating of this fruit change the entire course of humanity? One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Is that what God said? No, that's not what God said. Remember, the ability of the devil is in his strength to misrepresent the truth, to confuse you. And he says, next line. Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. Next. It is only the fruit from the tree in the middle, so they knew specifically where this tree was. Remember, they opened their eyes, God telling them about eating of trees, of fruits that come from a tree. But this particular tree was earmarked. They knew specifically where it was. And I want to tell you now, let me jump up a little bit. I want to tell you this, that this man and this woman was in there for the sole purpose of eating of either of these fruits. That's why they were there in Eden. Think. This is why when they failed, what happened? They were driven out of Eden. Why? Because the reason they were there has been completed. People think that, they sinned. Christ, God hates sin. Once they hate sin, he just dropped them. No, it's none of that. They were there to make this choice. Once this choice was made, case closed. They were driven out of Eden. Because that's the reason they were there. That is the reason this tree was marked out completely. The Bible says it is in the middle, so they knew where it was. It's only the fruits from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. Did God say that? No, the God didn't say you must not touch it. He didn't say that. Eve added that one. God never said that one. You got to know the word for yourself. Somebody say amen. Remember when the devil came to tempt Christ? What did Christ reply? He took from the word and gave him back, word for word. Got to know the word for yourself. That thing Pastor was saying, I don't know whether he says we are righteous or we are not righteous, but yeah, I think he says, you must know, like you know. You must believe this to the point that it is not possible to believe otherwise. You must believe, like we're singing, I love the song we started with this morning, that we are singing that you are the righteousness of God. It's not only in the song, but you must be convinced that it becomes difficult to believe otherwise. When somebody tells you otherwise, you will rise up. Watch this. He said, you must not eat, neither, or you will die. Next line. Now, God knows, this is what the devil says. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Church, question. Is this true or is this a lie? Who said it's a lie? Read again. Is this true or is it a lie? Huh? See, the world don't start. Apostle. Huh? What makes it a mystery? Tell me. This is church. Let's interact, friends. It's not a courthouse. It's church. Family, yes. Okay, being like God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're getting somewhere. Are you with me this morning? Are you sure you are with me? This is a journey. You better follow. We're going to keep repeating this over and over. The reason is this. When we learn what it means that you are born again, your life will start to change from that day. You will realize that this born again thing is not a casual thing. You realize that this born again thing is not something that you can be and you don't shine as light. Suddenly you will realize that this born again thing we're talking about, is the consummation of all things. That a man in Christ, there's something about that man. God knows that your eyes will be opened as you eat of this. This part was not lie. But remember, there is something about using a truth to lead to a lie. Careful. There's something about using a truth to lead to a lie. Because remember what the devil told them. God knows that your eyes will be opened as you eat. And the Bible tells us that when they ate, their eyes became open and they knew they were naked. And he says, the second part says, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Is this true or false? Ladies and gentlemen, let me also tell you that this part also was true. I will get to find out now. Listen to me carefully. It's not only what is said, also the purpose for which it is said. This is truth used for the application of lie. Because he was trying to lead them to a lie. But this was truth. Let me show you. So let's look at Kai. Let's go to verse 8 and 11. I'm trying to beat time here, but just give me a little time. Let me balance this out. When the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Next line. I'm not sure whether. Then the Lord God called the man, "Where are you?" Continue. They replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Watch what God says. "Who told you that you were naked?" Lord asked, "Have you eaten of the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" God knew immediately what this problem was, because now he has a knowledge. Now he knows he's naked. Now he knows he has done something wrong. Now he knows he has to run from God. Now he knows now he has to hide from God. Now he has to go and look for a way to arrange himself. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22-24. Then the Lord God said, "Look." Watch this. Now watch this now. Remember, I asked you a question. Here's the answer. Then the Lord God said, "Look, the human beings have become..." Watch. That's the answer there. Then the Lord God said, this is after they ate the fruit. God himself says, "The human beings have become..." Huh? In which way? So did the devil lie to them there? No, he wasn't lying. Only that he was using a truth to push them to a lie. Careful. Very important. God himself said, "Come on, look. This man and his wife, they are now like us." This is what proves to you that when the Bible said God made man in his image, yes, the image, the likeness of us was not there. It was in the eating of the fruit that the consummation would have been done, so that man becomes what God already intended. But here's the good news. What failed in the Garden of Eden has been accomplished in Christ. Somebody say amen. What could not happen then? Because next Sunday, I will open up the scriptures to show you what that tree of life is. And then you realize where you are today. When you see what that tree that they refused to eat. Oh, had they eaten that tree? Now watch this, but I don't want to go too far. So let's round up with this. He says, "They have become good like us." What if they reach out? Watch this now. What if they reach out, take from the fruit, from the tree of life, and eat it? Then they will live forever. Pause. Now this is God talking. God said, "Hey, look, these men have now become like us. But now that they are in this nature," watch this. He said, "What if they go and eat of the tree of life? Now what you have is a human being who has the knowledge of good and evil." Remember, the knowledge of good and evil gives you the capacity to do both good and evil. So what you will have is that you have a human being with the capacity to know good and evil, with the ability to do good and evil, that lives forever. In other words, there would have been no redemption for man. This was so serious. Next line, please. That God says, "Okay, now that they have missed this tree, we have to banish them out of the garden." And God sent them out to now go and walk. He sent them out to go and walk. Next line. I'm looking for where he says that God protected. I think it's in the next line. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guide the way to where? The tree of life. The tree of life. Let me begin to round up today by saying this. Just a few things. Number one, read in the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. The reason was this, that God was trying to, remember, God is an invisible God. God is spirit. What God was trying to do is to create a man like God, man. This man was not supposed to have the knowledge of good and of evil. That's why these children can run around here from now till tomorrow. Even though they are disturbing us, they don't care. Until the man knows he's bad. The reason you are sitting quiet now, nobody say you don't want to move on. Yeah? But you have an understanding that an adult is supposed to sleep quietly. Isn't that true? Yeah. This man was supposed to be naked and ashamed before God and unaware that he was. Remember where the Bible now says that he, before the world was founded, he created us to be without fault in his eyes. But when man ate, made the wrong choice. Because everything comes together here. Man has to make a choice. If he didn't make a choice, then what's the test of his free will? There has to be two things for him to choose from. Two opposites. One gives life, one gives death. So if the man ate of the tree of life, what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to live forever. How do we know? Right there. The Bible says, let us drive him away so that he does not go to eat of the tree of life and live forever. So death came because man made a choice. A wrong choice. Man made a wrong choice. Please, I appeal to you. But next Sunday, I'll start to talk about what this tree of life is. What this tree of life is. Who is this tree of life? We'll go through the scriptures to show you why, if they made that choice, what their life would have been. And to let you know what that choice means for me and you today. That's where we're going to. Suddenly you realize, friends, you realize something that's very important. That this born again thing, that if you are having a challenge, if I'm having a challenge, if I'm struggling with anything, I am struggling because yet I have not really understood what it means that a man is in Christ. Because from this, we get to realize that what we are now is the reason God created the heavens and earth. You start to realize that the consummation of our unity, no wonder the Bible keeps saying, because you are united with Christ, because you are one in Christ, because you are in Christ. That our eyes, and I pray for all of us, our eyes of understanding being enlightened, that we may know and realize just what manner of man you are. Somebody say amen. Oh. Just what God has made out of us. Just to realize that this is the intended purpose. God created heavens and he created the earth. That Jesus, that choice, had always been the choice before man. In the old, he may look like something else. But now, we know him better. Somebody say amen. I say somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to stop here just because nobody say I don't tire. Those who know me will tell you, I can stand here till tomorrow. But I want to be merciful unto you all. So that you can go home and eat some rice. Alright, that's fine. But please, let me tell you what you ought to be doing from now. I want you to be praying. Because God is bringing us to why we are here. We are not here. Listen, we are not here. The grace God has given us is that, thank God we are here. We can ask questions. And let the Holy Spirit reveal. Some of the things I'm saying, I couldn't say it in many places because it will contradict a lot of things. Because finally, you will now, when somebody says something to you, you look at them and say, that's a lie. Because the truth is evident. It becomes easy for you to know who is lying and who is telling the truth. Remember, the power of the devil is in his ability to lie or to confuse the truth. But he will not confuse you in the name of Jesus. In fact, with regard to you, he has already lost the battle. All I ask, open heart, that you go home and continue to pray. All I did today was put pillar, 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 pillar. During the home service and during the week and next Sunday, we start to chalk it all around together so that it becomes apparent for us to know why we are here. Let me say this and I close. There is no other purpose that God has for man. You know, we're always talking about purpose. What's the purpose of God for our lives? What's the purpose of God for our lives? There is no other purpose for our lives. There is no other reason that God created us, if not that we become united with Him in Christ. No other purpose. No other purpose. The problem with man, in man, and around man, is because man is walking outside of the purpose for which he was created. The only way to solve the problem of humanity is to return them to the purpose for which they were created. That's all I will say for now. I finished preaching here two or three Sundays ago. And somebody called me, he would like to see me during the week. So I went to his office. And he said to me, Pastor, I don't know whether you remember. There's a message you preached so Sunday. I said, sir, I remember. The message comes from the Spirit. I don't memorize things. For those of you who want to learn, I don't memorize the scriptures. I studied them. It's like an imprint in you. When the time comes, that particular one will come out. I don't memorize scripture. Remember, to memorize scripture is a mental thing. You get to do where the word becomes life. And so as you express it, is life. So he said to me, Pastor, do you remember so message you preached? I said, yeah, I remember, sir. How can I forget? He said, when you said something, there was something you said. I don't want to jump ahead of him because he's going to come here and talk to you by himself. He said, there was something you said. When you said that thing, listen to me carefully. He said, it made me to begin to see myself in a different way. And because of that, I said to God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this step. And before you hear, I say that as this step produces, I'm going to buy this church a bus. That's what he said. And for those of you who work with me always, you know we have always wanted to get a bus. In fact, listen to me carefully. In fact, we tried to make the arrangements. We prayed, like church people do. We've been trying to raise, I even called a few friends. Say, bros, I beg, you know, this is what our church is trying to do. He said, don't worry, Pastor, I'll call you back. And you know, I don't get upset because man cannot be more than himself. And so, we left it, forgot about it. Forgot about it. And so this man says, I didn't tell him, I didn't discuss with him. He says, well, I want, the reason I called you here is to let you know that what I asked God, he did for me. And the vow that I made, I'm here to redeem it. The good thing is this. At the end of it all, we didn't get only one bus. We got two. Amen. So if you walked into the church, I'm not talking in the spirit though. It's those ones back outside there. Two of them are there. Hallelujah. The black and the white. Everything are double. Friends, look at this, the simplicity of it. We didn't raise offering. We didn't ask no man to make a vow. We didn't pressure anybody. If you don't come out to do this, God wouldn't do this for you. A man had a word. That's what we're saying. Take what you heard and make it yours. It's not about the bosses. It's about the revelation this person has. Seated just like you are sitting. All I appeal to you is this. If you're coming here, listen to what is said. We are now correcting some of the things that has been said for a long time because God is bringing us somewhere. And this manifestation is for everybody. This manifestation is for everybody. Nothing special about any particular person. It's your ability to take what you hear and make it yours. Remember, the word of God does not demand faith. It supplies faith. When he heard something, he said, I took that thing and I made it. I began to see myself in the light of what you said. Based on that, I took this step. That's how it works. The word of God becoming life and it starts to produce. Car is nothing. It will produce a life through you. Somebody say, amen. The word of God in you starts to produce life. Starts to make you the light you ought to be in your home, in your family, in your community. Then you start to realize that this born again thing is the greatest thing that God would have. If you're thinking that there's something else God is going to do for you greater than you being born again, you don't get it yet. You don't get it yet. You go run tired. When you don't run tired, you can't come back and pick it up. But God is opening this to us from this day beginning going forward. That when you wake up and look at yourself, my goodness, you start to know that your life has not even started at all. All the life, all the while we've been just managing to see how things happen, following who we are not. But God is going, bringing us into the fullness and the reality of who we are. Somebody say amen. Have you been blessed today? Now stand onto your feet and celebrate Jesus. Come on, somebody. Stand on your feet and celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on now. Let's lift up our hands and say, Father, thank you. Just bless him over the word that you heard today. Just bless him over the word that you heard. Just bless him over the word that you have. Say, Father, thank you. I give you praise and I give you glory. Begin to pray. Say, Father, I thank you. I may not understand it all. I may not get it all for now, but I know you're taking me somewhere. I leave my heart.
Thank you for listening to this message. At Grace Life, we believe in exposing our listeners to the truth of the gospel of Jesus. If you want to listen to more messages like this or to fellowship with us, follow us on Facebook at Grace Life Family Church Abuja or visit our website at www.gracelifeabuja.org. For questions and counseling, you may call 0803-113-8031.